Okay, great to see everybody. I assume this is going to be the last Shkafa Shmuz prior to Yantif. Next Thursday is there Leiv Shlomo. We're still on next Thursday.
Not sure we have an
Ilam. I think okay. So Botzi Yom Kippur. Okay, so this will be probably the last Shmuz. If guys are around, we can talk about it next Thursday also. So obviously, what's on our minds is still. You know, tshuva, I thought it appropriate just to say something on those lines. Once heard a very penetrating insight about tshuva from Rav Meir Twersky. There are a number of he has a number of penetrating insights on tshuva. Just one that I happen to be thinking about recently. We say many times throughout the slichos, other times huracham. Just said it this morning, like the third line that we say, Nach b'sadrachenu v'nach kora v'nashuva el Hashem. Some of you maybe remember that pasuk a little bit. Nach b'sadrachenu v'nach kora v'nashuva el Hashem. The Slichas book that right here. So if you were paying attention this morning, to the every day, and yeah, so every day that says you made tshuva, so. Right, it was actually the third, after Ashrei, it was actually the third pasuk we say. We start off with Chah Hashem, Atztak, Avlon, Mar, Sabanim, Manasoni, Mano, Manadam, Manatzadach, Nach, Besad, Rechenu, Venach, Korah, Venashuv, Eilech. Nach, Besad, Rechenu, Venach, Korah, Venashuv, Eilech. So Rav Twersky was commenting, it's a pasuk from Eicha. So Rav Twersky was commenting on the double language here. Nach, Besad, Rechenu, Venach, Korah. We will search our ways, and then we'll be choker. We'll analyze. We'll search and we'll analyze. What's the difference between nachbasa, searching, and nachkora, and analyzing? So Ritwersky used kidako bakodesh, two halachic constructs to try to analyze what nachbasa means and nachkora. And these are two stages in tshuva, two important stages of tshuva. We're going to search our paths and we're going to be choker our paths. Nach b'sa d'rachenu v'nach kora. So nach b'sa, he said, where do we find chipus in halacha? So where do we find chipus? Where do we find searching in halacha? So he said, the Gemara in Pesachim says that by chametz, you're supposed to be l'chapes b'chorin uvestakin, which means you're supposed to search out in the corners and the cracks of your house for chametz. Chametz is the Yetzirah. Right, so when you're looking for the Averos, so you have to check all the nooks and the crannies. So the way he understood that is that is stage one in tshuva. Stage one is tshuva simply finding the dirt. You got to find the chametz, wherever it is. You got to find whatever it is. Step one is we just got to like try to think about the last few months, last few weeks. What are the things that we did wrong? What are the things that we didn't do the way we want to? That's step one. That's nachbasa. Nachbasa. But what's v'nach kora? Nachbasa means just to search out, to find the others. What's nach kora? Where's the halachic construct that we have in chakira? Where are chakiras? So last year we learned Sanhedrin, some of us. So we learned Sanhedrin, you may remember that the chakiras, I don't know if you learned this part of Sanhedrin. It's a lot in the fourth parak, the fifth parak. Hayubod kenoso, they would check the edim. The sheva chakiros. What were the seven chakiros? Check the edim. Be'ezah yom, be'ezah shavua, be'ezah chodesh. Right? You have to check the edim. Chakiros. Chakiros ha'edim was you had to ask the edim of what day of the week was it, what month, what year was the crime committed. You have to ask the edim. So he wanted to say, chakiris means not to try to check and analyze the sin, but you have to analyze the context of the sin. The environment that led to sin. The whole mahalich. Right? Like some people who, you know, work in Manhattan, so they tell me that, you know, every time they go down a certain street, they see a certain billboard. So first you try to go down the street and just, okay, you know there's a billboard there, so you try not to look at the billboard. But if you're really smart, you'll realize, don't go down that street. You got to walk a different way. That's the difference between just trying to eradicate the Aveira itself or trying to eradicate the Nitunim, the circumstances that lead a person to sin. You see, it's almost more important, as opposed to just finding the sin and trying to see what the sin is, but what are the circumstances that lead me to sin? And like I've said many times, you know, like my Rebbe holds there's an Isser Yichud with the internet. So, you know, so to be alone in a place, so let's say a person's struggling with certain issues on the internet, so he has to figure out, how do I not even put myself in the position that I'm going to have a problem? Because for some people to say, I'm going to just do everything regular and be alone in the privacy of my own, you know, the computer, and I'll be okay. So for some people, that's enough. But for other people, you have to look at what the circumstances are. Maybe the answer is you have to not put yourself alone with that, or you have to set up one of these whatever buddy systems or whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. But it's not enough just to identify the Aveira itself, but you have to also try to figure out what leads a person to sin. What are the circumstances? What can I do to affect the circumstance? Like, I know that if I'm always in this position, I always end up doing this. Or I know if I'm in this situation, or I'm talking, I know that if I'm speaking to this person, I'm always going to speak inappropriately. Just I know the way I talk. I know it's always going to be like that way. So then it's not enough just to say, I'm not going to do it. You have to try to figure out the nitunim. And this, of course, brought me to thinking about an idea that I say over very often about, it's certainly not my idea. It's probably the most famous idea that Rav Soloveitchik ever said about tshuva. And probably the reason it's the most famous idea of Soloveitchik said about tshuva is because it's the first chapter in his book on tshuva, the Sefer Ala Tshuva, where he talks about the difference between kapara and tahara. Classic Brisker Torah about tshuva. Where he talks about, I don't know if everybody's familiar with it, but it's a famous piece where he talks about that there's really two things that are going on in tshuva, two things you have to take care of. It's a little bit related to this idea that Aritorsky said, not surprisingly, that there's one step in tshuva, which is just basically the basic level of tshuva, which we know what the formula is, right? Identifying the sin, regretting the past, taking upon yourself not to do it again. So that's the basic formula of tshuva. And that, said Rav Soloveitchik, achieves from a person kapara. Kapara means mechila. It means that, okay, you won't get the punishment. Right? Normally we assume la-pesach hatas rovetz, that every time a person sins, right? Kol omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatrin hu yivatru ma'ohi. I once heard a beautiful explanation of that gemara. Right, the gemara says, the Mesillas Yesharim quotes this gemara. Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatrin yivatru ma'ohi. Anybody remember what that means? Anyone who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just is like Meichel, he just, Hashem knows that, like, for me, doing this little Aveira is not such a big deal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meichel. He's Meichel me doing this Aveira. Like, I'm not on such a big Madrega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mochi. So the gemara says that anyone who says that Hashem is Meichel on Aveirus, his intestines will be Meichel, will be Nimchel. Actually, now I remember where I heard it. Frank Waxman said on a CD that I was listening to, what's the shot? His intestines. Why is it more focused on the intestines? I think I once said it in Ashkafa Shmuz. Kol ha'omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatrin. Anyone who says God is like, he's Meichel on his Aveirus. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind if people do a few Aveirus. Yivatru ma'ohi. What's Pshat? He should be Meichel on a piece of his intestines. What does that mean? Because he's, you know, the large intestine, apparently, you know, the large intestine inside a person, it winds around and around and around and around and around. The small intestine. It winds around and around and around and around. And it's like, apparently, even like people like me and you, it's like 26 feet long of intestines that are wound up inside your body. Like the small intestine. It's like very, 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 very long. So a person will say, you got 26 feet, so just you'll be Meichel on 1 foot of the intestines. What do you need 26 feet for? No, you don't understand. The doctor will tell you out of your mind.
1 foot of the 26 feet. Just because there's 26 feet of test doesn't mean that you have 25 extra. Doesn't mean you need all 26 feet. If you're missing one intestine, you can't live. That's what you think. You think there's 613 mitzvahs. You think there's so many mitzvahs, so many averis. So the Eibush still be Michael Zion. He's Mochel. What does he need me to do every mitzvah, every avera?
You don't understand. You don't understand. If you're missing one mitzvah, one avera, it's like you don't have life. There's no such thing as, let me say this clearly. There's no such thing as a Yiddishkeit with only 612 mitzvahs, 611 mitzvahs. There's no such thing. That's not Judaism. Again, I want to be mechalik. I don't know where I said what anymore. But I heard this unbelievable chizuk, right? Sometimes during this tshuva time, I'm a little too intense. So let's give everybody a big piece of chizuk. You want a big piece of chizuk from the Chafetz Chaim? Zatzal. Maybe I said this in a recent Ashkafa Shmuz. It says by Yeshua and Kalev, what do they try to tell the other 10 Meraglim? What do they try to tell all of Klai Yisrael when they come back and everyone else is telling a bad report? What do they say? Ach Bashem Al Timrodu. Don't be a morid. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's all the Rabbon Hashem wants from us. He wants, we shouldn't be a morid. What's a morid? What's a morid? A morid is someone who says, this mitzvah, this avera, these three, four mitzvahs, they're not for me. They're not for me. These averas I have to do. I have to do. God knows that I need to do these averas. Not for me. That's a morid. That's a person who says, Hashem, your Torah is not good for me. The way you wrote the Torah is not good for me. These mitzvahs don't make sense to me. These mitzvahs I don't like. That's a morid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that we should have the following attitude. No, every single one of the 613 mitzvahs, that's part of Yiddishkeit. There's no such thing as a Yiddishkeit minus even one mitzvah. It could be that I have difficulty keeping all of them. Okay, sometimes you slip up. That's okay, says the Chafetz Chaim. As long as you're not a morid. Ach b'shem al timrodu. Kachatu b'chafetz Chaim, ala Torah, on that pasuk. Ach b'shem al timrodu. The Ribbono Shel Olam just wants, we shouldn't be a morid. As long as you're in it for all 613, all 365 don'ts and 248 do's, you're in for all of them? That's good. Sometimes, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. Then you're okay if you're not a morid. Sometimes you mess up. I know I really want to be doing it, but sometimes my Yetzirah or whatever things, you slip up. To err is human. Human beings, ain't tzadik baruch shi'asta v'lo yechta. It's impossible for a person not to sin. You're going to sin from time to time. But it shouldn't be a sin that's a merida. Kol ha'om HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatra and yivatru ma'oi. Anyone who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meichel on this mitzvah, he doesn't mind that I don't do this mitzvah. He doesn't mind that I don't keep this mitzvah. He might not mind if you occasionally, if you try hard, but the yitzhar gets you and you slip up. But not if you're meichel on the mitzvah. Not if you're he's mevater. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't care about this mitzvah for me. He doesn't care about it. You can't say that. It's like being meichel on an intestine, even though you have 26 feet. You need all 26. You can't be meichel on 1 foot of the intestine. So every avera carries with it a punishment. Every avera carries with it a punishment. Elamai, if you do tshuva, so you get what's the Rav Salvechik terms kapara. Kapara means, what do you mean you get kapara? It means Hashem says, even though normally every avera carries with it a punishment, I'm going to be meichel on the punishment. You don't get the punishment. You don't get the punishment. I'm going to be meichel on the punishment. So a Jew comes, Yom Kippur, comes to Shul Yom Kippur, he stands, he davens all day long, he says all the tefillahs, he sings with the chazan, he's singing with the chazan, Hashem, I'm here, I'm in Shul, I believe in all 613, and I'm here, I'm doing tshuva, I regret, I feel bad, Kabbalah lost it, right? Rebbe holds in the Mishnah, even if you don't do tshuva, Yom Kippur works. Rebbe says, we don't pass it that way, but Rebbe says, even b'li tshuva, Yom Kippur's mechaper, even b'li tshuva. Kapara! Kapara means, if you're not a moirid, and you attach yourself to Klal Yisrael, and you're davening in shul, v'daf tzazayin, you come to shul, you're there, you're part of the tzibur, you're singing all the kalbach nigunim, you're singing everything, so you get kapara. But that's only one level of tshuva, and that just avoids punishment. But there's something else that we speak about on Yom Kippur. There's another opportunity that Yom Kippur gives us. Right? We say, the central pasuk of Yom Kippur is, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem. That's step one. Kapar. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper letaher eschem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titarim. Letaher lefnei Hashem titarim. Our salvation said there's another process of tshuva. That's called, there's another step in tshuva. That's called tahara, purification. That goes to what Rabbi Tversky was talking about before, about not just finding the sins and eliminating the sins, but eliminating the whole atmosphere, the whole approach, the whole perspective on sin. My whole relationship with sin. That's tahara. And that's what every Jew really strives for in his own personal avodah on Yom Kippur. That's what we strive for. That's what the Rambam means. Just to give you an example, a little example, Rav Soloveitchik uses this example. You know, gentlemen, that a person who sins, so he's pasul eidus. He becomes pasul eidus because if he commits an avera, sheyesh bo malchus, right? We learned this last year in Sanhedrin for those who are here. If you commit an avera, sheyesh bo malchus, pasul eidus. So what are you going to tell me? According to Rebbe, after Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, you said you have to do tshuva. So after Yom Kippur, now you're forgiven from the sin. So after Yom Kippur, what do you want to say? Now you're kashul eidus? Ridiculous. You wouldn't say such a thing. You did tshuva. You did basic level of tshuva. You went through Yom Kippur. So why are you not? How come you can't testify? Because what's the psul eidus? The psul eidus means that when a person sins, he distances himself from Hashem. He's distant. And he's psul eidus because we say to him, not only did you do something wrong that an X accrued against you in Shamayim, that you have an X on the Avera side of the ledger, but the sin also defiles a person. You lose a modicum of your Judaism when you sin. You lose something about your relationship with Hashem. That's what makes you psul eidus. That's why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, it's not enough just to do tshuva to become kosher eidus. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, right? A gambler, right? You remember, guys? A gambler is pasul eidus. If you gamble, you're pasul eidus. So what does the Gemara say? When do you become kashul eidus after gambling? It's not enough to just do tshuva. Do tshuva. What do you got to do? I admit that what I did is wrong. I regret doing it, and I accept upon myself never to do it again. Gambling. The Gemara says, no. You got to break the dice, right? You got to smash the dice. What do you got to do? You can't even gamble not for money. Be kashul eidus. Again, normally speaking, if you gamble not for money, you're not pasul eidus. But if you gambled for money and you became pasul eidus to become kashul eidus, it has to be that you gamble, that you don't even gamble not for money. It's mutter. It's mutter to gamble not for money. Or the Gemara says, it's permitted to lend interest to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, if you lend with interest, so you're pasul eidus. When do you become kashul eidus? That you won't even lend to a non-Jew. It's mutter to lend money with interest to a non-Jew. What's the explanation? The explanation is, gentlemen, that there's kapara, there's tahara. There's removing the sin. For that, tshuva is enough. But tahara means, totally purifying a person. It means being on a different level. It means going through Yom Kippur and thinking about sin, and thinking about what brought a person to sin, and growing through Yom Kippur, that you could really say, I'm now a different person. That's what the whole Yom Kippur season is supposed to be. That's why it's so long. Because you can't become a different person in 5 minutes, or in an hour, or even in a day. But if you start from Rosh Chodesh El, thinking a little bit, a little shofar, you get slichas a little bit, then it, you know, Rosh Hashanah, if you're like me, then you finally feel guilty, okay, Rosh Hashanah's here already. I had the whole L, haven't done really done anything. Shofar, slichas, I'm at least standing Rosh Hashanah. Maybe now I'll actually start thinking about something. Tzom Gedalia, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we're holding. By the time you're done with Yom Kippur through the whole process, you could really be a different person. If you don't just think about the sins, but think about what brings you to sin. What are the things, what are the desires, what are the factors that bring me to sin in the first place? How can I avoid the factors? How can I purify myself? How can I do work, not just, okay, Hashem, I really feel badly, but to try to do some real thought about who do I want to be in life? Mishana Shemo, the Rambam says. That's why you become a different person. There's much more to talk about this, but just the words of Chizuk. You guys are so fantastic in the sense that you're being Kovea Itim La Torah. You're coming to make Torah study a permanent part of your day. So that's a tremendous statement in its own right. So to continue in this path of growing, of developing, of using Yom Kippur to become a new person. That's what I try to do every year. To try to use the Yom Ha'Arayim to recreate yourself. To dream of being somebody who you never thought you could be. You never thought you could be. I never thought I would be a person who could do these things. I know for myself, just the last couple of years, with the small Kabbalists, I never thought I would be able to do some of the things that I'm doing now. I never thought I'd be able to do it. Yom Kippur is that tremendous opportunity, not just for Kapara, for Tahara. May it be with the Ribbono Shel Olam that everybody has the opportunity, not just to stop the sins, but to grow and to develop and become the person of our dreams, who we dream of becoming. Through the press will be Zaychetsu, by Yom HaZeh Yechapra Lechem, not just Kapara, but Letairischem, Mikol Chatosechem. It should be a Shnas, Bracha, Hatzlacha, Ksivach Simatova, Gemar Chasimatova to everybody. So I'm assuming we're not gonna have next week.